Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. We're playing Paul Simon All Show today. And the reason is, first of all, this song is called Father and Daughter, which is particularly touching in the wake of the Kobe Bryant tragedy. And I want to talk each week about something that Kobe did that inspired us all. And one of them is playing with a chip on his shoulder. He had all the talent in the world, but played like he was the 12th man on the bench. My guest at 7:15, and you can check out the podcast and our Facebook page, is Matt Unger. He runs the Lexus Santa Monica and Toyota in Santa Monica. But Matt Unger is a world record holder in volleyball. Played at Cal State Northridge. 7-time winner of the sixth man in Manhattan Beach volleyball. Beat Karch Kerai at the Hermosa Open. He is something special. But volleyball is a sport for big guys, tall guys, 6'4", 6'8". Go watch them play beach volleyball in Manhattan and Hermosa Beach. They're giants. So are the women. Matt Unger ain't a giant. And in that world, it's hard. So it made me think all week. I love the world of surgery. I love the world of sports. I love the world of art. Where do you see that chip on your shoulder due to your size that inspires you to be more creative, to figure out how to beat someone who's so much taller than you? Paul Simon, 5'3". Muggsy Bogues played in the NBA for 14 seasons. He's 55 years old now, but he played from 1987 to 2001. Spent almost 10 years at Charlotte. Manute Bol was a teammate who was 7'7". Can you imagine at one time on the same team they had the shortest guy to ever play basketball, 5'3", Muggsy Bogues, and the tallest guy to ever play basketball, Manute Bol, at 7'7". A 28-inch difference. Almost 3 feet. But let me tell you something. Muggsy Bogues, don't tell him he's short. Don't tell him he can't play in the NBA. 14 seasons he played in the NBA. He blocked one of Patrick Ewing's shots amongst the many things that he did that were heroic. I remember him guarding Michael Jordan. How do you have the chutzpah? In Yiddish, that's the nerve. How do you have the chutzpah to think you can guard Michael Jordan in a professional game? Muggsy Bogues did. And I love this soundbite that you're about to hear where he said, they all told me it was about how I needed to adjust to the NBA. Now, the NBA had to adjust to me. That's how you have to live your life. Here's Muggsy Bogues, the man himself.
I was small. I was different from all the other players. You know, it felt like I had to adjust to them, but really, they had to adjust to me because they never seen a guy my size playing against them. So, you know, that low to the floor, they had to protect the basketball. So, you know, and me understanding all this, what I'm impacting, how I'm impacting the game.
He blocked 39 shots in his career. He's 5'3". Those guys should be embarrassed. But he was a good player, Muggsy Bogues. Where did that strength come from? That belief in yourself. His dad was in prison. He was raised by his mom. Listen to the advice Muggsy Bogues' mom gave him.
But she was always, you know, always just quick to say that it had no idea what basketball was about. But she was quick to say, you know, Ty was Ty for her at the time. You know, Ty, Dane, don't let them, you know, take your joy. If you like playing basketball, you go out there and play. You know, no one can be an expert on your life. They don't know how big your heart or know what your capabilities are. If you want to play, you just go out there and play. And at the time, I didn't know what that meant. I'm like, yeah, okay, mom, but you know, those things didn't register at the time. You know, I just focused more or less on the kids being so mean and cruel towards me and because I was trying to pursue a game that they thought was meant for taller players.
It was tough being made fun of.
Little jokes that was out there, you know. You're short, you know, you need to be sitting on the curb with your feet swinging off. You know, we could put you in the drawer when we're traveling, you know. As they said, you know, you growing up as a kid, when they say sticks and stones may hurt your bones, but words would never hurt you. It's not true. Words will hurt you now, and they're killing folks. So words are very powerful, very powerful. So the thing is about getting within yourself and understand who you are to kind of, you know, ward off those negative comments that's coming toward you.
He used to say, I may be short, but my heart is just as big as everyone else's.
Your heart, you know, it measures. It pretty much doesn't have a height to it. You know, it pretty much set the tone of who you are and what you're able to accomplish. You know, and the height factor was the game of basketball. So, you know, my heart was bigger than my height. So I didn't have no hang-ups on believing that I belong with, you know, the best of the best. You know, because my heart was just as, you know, just as big as theirs.
Muggsy Bogues created his own destiny, being only 5'3". Awesome. In the art world, where do we see that chip on your shoulder? That talent, that belief in yourself. Well, who else is 5'3"? Maybe Prince was 5'3", but I went to someone who really, I felt impacted my life as a short person in the artistic world with a chip on his shoulder. And that was Paul Simon. His ability to write a song, musicality, there's nobody like him. Listen to one of his classics. How do you put these two words together? The sound of silence. Sound doesn't, it doesn't make any sense. And yet it's the most beautiful two words to put together.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again.
How do you talk to darkness?
Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping.
Vision while you're sleeping.
And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence.
Tremendous.
In restless dreams I walked alone. Streets of cobblestone.
So original and yet so confident. I love this interview with Dick Cavett because you can feel Paul Simon being so possessed that he can say, here, you try and write this song. I've already written a bit of it. Maybe you want to help me a little bit. And then you just hear this encyclopedic knowledge he has and grasp he has for writing and for music. This is with Dick Cavett.
Here's a song I'm working on. I haven't got it finished. I'll show you. I'll go up to the point where I've stopped, all right?
All right, or maybe perhaps I can help you.
And I would appreciate your help if you could, because I've been stumped here for a while.
I finished a lyric for Stephen Sondheim once on the show, so go ahead. He didn't use it, but...
Okay. I met my old lover on the street last night. She seemed so glad to see me, I just smiled.
Wow.
And that's where I'm stopped. Now, I'll give you my choices.
Okay.
These are musical choices, because lyrically, I really don't know what I have to say. Perhaps you'll give me the lyric. Mm. You give me the lyric and I'll put the music in.
Okay.
Here I am on a D9 chord. Does that mean anything to you?
I heard that you don't know
a lot about music, actually.
At the height of his fame with Art Garfunkel, 1970, they break up. Is it because he is a man possessed? Is it because he has a chip on his shoulder? Is it because he's 5'3" and Art Garfunkel isn't? One of the greatest of all time, Paul Simon.
Well, I tell you what I'm thinking mm-hmm. is roughly the scale that I've used in this song is based around a D scale.
Based on?
Well, you know, based on that, there's two sharps in the D scale, so it's based on that. Now, two of the notes I haven't used in this song so far are C natural and C sharp. I haven't used
them. I have no idea what a C is, or a sharp, or a natural. I'm just listening to music. But it's so impressive to hear someone who's so confident and capable in their own field and the passion that they have. But there are rules that you can tell are in his head. And Dick Cavett keeps trying to pester him. And he's trying to be nice to Dick Cavett. But you can realize how good he is at his craft. like Kobe, like Muggsy Bogues, like Matt Unger. This is how you want to be with the skill set that you need for your job.
Well, anyway, my point is that if I go to this key when I'm changing keys, I can get these notes in that I haven't used, C and C sharp. Mm-hmm. And although the listener will not ever consciously say, those are two new notes I haven't heard, in fact, it will be refreshing to the ear.
So here he's going to be nice and say, it's like comedy, like what you do. But then Dick Cavett messes with him a little bit, and he has to correct him.
I imagine the same principle would hold true in comedy. You establish some kind of comedic pattern, and you do it twice. And by the time you do it once, you do it twice, it reinforces it. By the third time, you have to change it. You can't repeat something three times. It's not funny because once you hear something twice, I think you understand, you've got it.
Yeah.
By the third time, you have to alter it in order for it to be fresh, and then you can come back.
That is true of comedy. You'll see stand-up comics who will do the same joke form three times and get away with it, but then they do it the fourth time, and the audience catches on to it.
You know, I think not even three. I think it's two.
Maybe that's the maximum.
For my span of attention.
It's almost like listening to Kobe talk about footwork. You know, it's on a level that I don't even understand in basketball when you're so good at what you do. Now, I can talk about surgery on levels that other surgeons can't even talk about because I've been doing it for 31 years and 500 surgeries a year for 31 years, 15,000 surgeries. Yeah, I can get to that level of sophistication, which is why it's so fun to hear it in other people. Where did it start for Paul Simon?
It was just something that I naturally did because I liked the music that I was listening to when I was young. That music was rhythm and blues from the 50s and kind of what was just before doo-wop. It would have probably later on be called doo-wop. The thing that was great about it was that most of the songs from that era were all written to the same chord structures.
Which I don't even know what that is, but he's going to explain. He's almost 80 years old, Paul Simon.
So, I'll give you an example. Down, 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 will you be mine, my darling dear? Love you all the time. I'm just a fool. A fool in love with you. That's Earth Angel. Probably the most famous of the songs from the groups of the 50s.
And how about his first song?
So my dad was a professional musician. He was a bass player. So I asked him, would he teach me the chords to these songs? He said, yeah, they're all the same chords, you know? And so the first song I wrote was, the girl for me is standing there. That's the one, flowers in her hair. I'll always love her, and I know she'll be true. You get the point.
Wow.
Well, the songwriter that I am now is very, very different from the songwriter that I was even in the 70s. And that writing was different from what I wrote in the 60s for Simon and Garfunkel. And before that, when I was doing imitation of teenage stuff, that was another way. Then I just wrote the songs. No need to separate the music from the words. They all came at the same time. Also, when you're young and you're writing, there's really no problem with the words because you don't know anything. So whatever you say is fine because you don't know anything, you know?
The evolution of the artist. Probably his greatest song. It didn't have many words. There was a lot of da-da-da-das going on. Was this.
And here's to you, Mrs. Robinson. Jesus loves you more than you will know. Whoa, whoa, whoa. God bless you, please, Mrs. Robinson. Heaven holds a place for those who pray. Hey, hey, hey.
hey, hey, hey.
The great Paul Simon, 5'3". Muggsy Bogues, 5'3". But their hearts were bigger than their size. Coming up next, the clinic will be open. The number is 877-710-ESPN. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warriors show here on 710 ESPN. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. I want to give a shout out to David at Delco Tires for taking care of me. Thank you, David. You're the greatest. You need tires? Go to Encino. Delco Tires. Ask for David. And Jorge Briones, look at you texting me in the middle of the show. Miss you, Jorge. So many stories I got to tell you about the sunlight in Hawaii. When I surf, I'm surfing over volcanic rock that makes a reef, which is why the waves roll the way they do with the power that they have. So when it's a cloudy day, the sun behind the cloud, the softness of the light shows the reef one way. Then the wind, trade winds, blow the cloud, and now the sun is full on bright again. You're looking at the same reef, only you see it differently. You feel nature in Hawaii like no other place. And I just took it all in this week. It was great. Riding different boards on different waves. Special. Gives me the energy to be here today. We can talk about surgery as well. Because now I'm back. Oh, my God. And that snow up in the mountains has generated a lot of acute injuries. I got plenty of people with arthritis that have been waiting months for me to operate on them. But the acute injuries are fast coming in. Snowboard. So interesting, the different injuries I see in snowboarders versus skiers. And those parabolic skis, the new type of ski designs, in my opinion, generates more injuries than the old versions. One day I'll tell you why. We'll see if I get into it, depending on your calls. The number is 877-710-ESPN. Clinic is open. Let's do some Clapper vision. Let's go to Glenn in San Dimas. You're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help?
Hi, Dr. Clapper. We first met when I was in Bakersfield, and we had a sweet surrender in common.
Oh, great! I recently had a slice of sweet surrender because someone...
That's what reminded me about 2 weeks ago we were talking about.
Oh,
that.
My God. And he also bought, this same patient brought me a box of Dewar's caramels.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh,
that's
my God.
One of the big things of Bakersfield.
I put them in the passenger seat of my car for a week, and then I get my car, turn the engine on, and all of a sudden I hear a voice in the car, like I'm some kind of schizophrenic or something. And it was the Dewar's box talking to me. Hey, I'm right over here. You can easily, you're at the next stop sign or red light, you can unroll one of these things and put it in your mouth. Oh, my God, it was so good. They wrapped toffee around this peanut butter inside. Man, was that good. I would be one fat guy if I lived in Bakersfield. Between Sweet Surrender and the Dewar's Caramel, I would never eat anything else. Fantastic.
Well, you got the two best.
That's exactly right. Okay, what do you do for a living, Glenn?
I'm a retired pastor.
Oh, okay. Well, then yeah, I don't need you to find a total stranger and do something nice to them. That's what you did with your whole life. And
thank you
so much for that.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. How can I help? What's up?
My right knee, when I kneel on it, I feel like a knife is shooting through it.
Mm.
It's on the right side of the knee.
Are you sitting down right now, Glenn?
I am.
Okay. I want you, and is it your right knee or your left knee?
My right knee.
All right. So I want you sitting down right now, your right knee. I want you to take your right hand and feel your kneecap. I want you to pretend, this is a Clapper vision, that your kneecap is a clock.
Got it.
Want you to feel 12 o'clock of the kneecap, then feel 6 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and 9 o'clock. Feel the kneecap itself.
Yes.
Where is your pain? 12 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. Okay, so what that means is because it's not 6 o'clock, which is where the joint line is, yes, you can have a degenerative meniscus at 75. You probably have some arthritis between the femur and the tibia. But when you say 9 o'clock, guess what that means? That means that the erosion in your cartilage is actually in the cartilage that's behind the kneecap. So here's what I need you not to do in your exercise routine. Stay away from treadmill, lunges, squats, stair machines, and weights for your legs. Here's what I'm going to want to love for you to do to strengthen your quadriceps, your hamstring, your calf muscle, the powerful muscles above the joint and the powerful muscles below the joint. Make them better shock absorbers so less stress goes through that precious cartilage that you're losing that's behind your kneecap. I love the pool. I love the bike. I love the elliptical. Your cartilage behind your kneecap is starting to wear through. The brake pad is starting to wear through, and you're starting to scratch the rotors. Don't let the doctor shoot you with cortisone or any kind of needle or Synvisc and stem cells and all these other cockamamie things. Be holistic. It's a sign from above. And I actually, Glenn, love the pain because that is telling you how you're going to get it to go away. If you introduce a pill or a shot, something artificial for the pain, then you're never going to get it to keep coming back again. If you make your legs stronger, you will get rid of the pain, and the best part, it will keep it from coming back again. So that direct pressure when you kneel on it and you feel like a knife is going through is because you don't have the cartilage anymore. Remember, cartilage doesn't have a blood supply, and it doesn't have nerve endings. So when you say, but I feel like a knife, I feel the pain, that's because you're now missing the cushion, and you're directly touching the bone on the bone. It looks like a blister, if you will, that's right there underneath your kneecap. But if you can strengthen the muscles above and below with the pool, the bike, the elliptical, then you will make the pain go away and keep it from coming back again. So going forward, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, belly button high water. You walk forwards, then backwards in a pool. Go to Target and buy some pool shoes for $10. Aisle 6. Just kidding. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And then after a month, you'll feel better. Introduce into your life on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturdays, a half an hour of riding a stationary bike. The pool and the bike. It's now February. If your knee still hurts and it's April, you call me back. But I can promise you this. I can't guarantee anything in life. If you do what I say, I promise you, you're going to feel better. How much better, I don't know, because I do a lot of knee surgery because things are bone on bone. But this is your best way to avoid surgery and delete the stuff I'm telling you that's bad. Okay, Glenn?
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, God bless you. And he has, and I appreciate the phone call, Glenn.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Tepper.
Have a good day. All right, let's do some more calls. All the lines are lit up. Man, the Facebook page is doing great. You should check the Facebook page out. God bless Steve Paulette. That's fantastic. Look in Weekend Warrior, and then you'll see my face. And by the way, I have a face for radio. But you'll see my face and click on it, and you'll be able to do whatever you do on Facebook, which I love.
And loving it.
And loving it. Maxwell Smart. I just got to hear more of Paul Simon right now, but I'll keep taking your calls. Wow. Let's go to Nicole in Burbank. I love it. Jean Crawford says, every time it's a female caller, it means she's listening on Saturdays, maybe not during the week. Is that true, Nicole?
Yep.
I love it.
Excuse me, I've got a frog in my throat, but yeah.
Okay,
I had a total knee replacement.
Wait a minute, what do you do for a living?
I'm a podiatrist.
Really? As we say, the agony of defeat, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. You know about defeat because you're a podiatrist. Yeah. All right. How can I help you?
I had a total knee replacement in the right knee and an open chain swing phase. It pinches like it's pinching cartilage, but it's you know, the pain level jumps to like 7 or 8.
And this is after surgery on your knee?
Correct.
How long ago was the surgery?
About 16 months.
So anytime you go on beyond a year, I'm not going to tell you to hang in there because, you know, it's pretty much declaring the way it's going to be after about 12 months. Do you fully straighten it? Do you fully flex it?
On some days, I cannot fully straighten it. And then I have my roommate force
it straight,
which is uncomfortable.
Well, then here's clearly the answer. What do they say? You know, when the elephant is in the room, here's the elephant in the room, Nicole. You need to get yourself together, collect all your x-rays, and go get a second opinion. You know what I mean?
I've tried that twice, and they look at the x-rays and the MRI and the CT and say, we don't want to see you.
Well, then you're going to need to get someone who's going to pay attention. You know, the problem is our crazy medical system is broken. You're going to need to find someone who's going to say, all right, you got two choices. You either live with this or you try to fix it. And again, God made us with cartilage and bone, and we're putting in Chevrolet parts. Remember that. You know, some people have a sensitivity to metal, to the plastic, the foreign substance itself. But if it's scar tissue, sometimes you can actually help people by arthroscoping. It's not something you want to do a lot, but because if you do surgery to remove scar tissue, the biggest fear you have is that you're going to now, with the second surgery, make even more scar tissue, and you start being like a dog chasing its tail. But I think it's time for you to get an opinion until someone's going to pay attention to you. That's clearly what has to happen, because it sounds like you're fed up enough. If you're not, keep riding the bike, doing the pool. But if it really is bothering you that much, then you're going to need to find someone who's capable. I'll give you the name of someone at Cedars. His name is Andrew Spitzer. You can go see him. And certainly you're more than welcome to come see me. All right, Nicole?
Thank you.
All right. God bless you, and thanks for running around out there. Let's go to Geraldo in Compton. You're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help?
Hi, Dr. Clapper. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, it's my pleasure. What do you do for a living?
I'm a math teacher.
A math teacher? Wow.
Yes.
What grade?
High school. Right now I'm teaching 9th and 10th grade.
Oh, so you're doing algebra and geometry?
That's correct.
Wow. The only part about your subject that drives me crazy is when you have an equal sign and you tell those students everything on the left side of the equal sign has to be the same as the right side of the equal sign, correct?
Correct, unless there's no solution.
And then all of a sudden you math teachers, because I'm still like fixated on this, all of a sudden say, so let's put infinity on the left side, which is like going forever, which I can't wrap my head around. And then you say, okay, and now we're going to delete infinity on the other side of the equal sign. And I just still can't get past, how could you work with infinity if that's something that goes on forever? So, but you're right, you can just X out the infinities if they're on both sides of the equal sign. I'm still lost by that, Geraldo, but God bless you. And it's what you do is the most important thing a person can do with their life, even more than being a doctor, is being a teacher. So God bless you, and thank you for what you do. Where did you grow up? What's your dad do for a living?
I grew up in Compton, California. My dad is an upholsterer.
Wow.
So he redoes couches. He works with the Tasbury Wheel.
How come you didn't go into that? How come you went into teaching?
And I saw my dad do this tough job.
Uh-huh. And you were inspired. So were you inspired by a particular teacher?
Yeah, definitely. My high school math teacher.
What was his name or her name?
Mr. Kreutz.
Wow. They still alive?
Yes, he is.
Does he know you became a math teacher because of him?
You know what? He actually does not know.
Well, I need you to do me a favor, Geraldo. I need you on Monday. Do me a favor. I need you to go track him down and tell him thank you.
I will get on it.
You should. He would love to know that. You know what you want in life, Geraldo? You want two things. Things that are timeless and things that are priceless. And for a math teacher to inspire you to become a math teacher, for you to just tell him that would be like the greatest gift he could ever get. So you need to do that. And now it's my turn to help you. What's up? What happened to you?
Look, I'm 30 years old.
No.
Because I had a soccer injury. And now when I play soccer, when I play basketball, you know, just pick up games, it goes out on me randomly. I get a sharp pain in my knee, and it just goes over for a couple of days.
Well, Geraldo, you need to get a new MRI, and I'll save a slot for you. You're going to call in here with the new MRI, and I will translate what the hell's the matter. When knees give out, it's either from a torn ligament, but if the ligament is intact, then it's from damage behind the kneecap, and it could be a persistent meniscus tear that you have, even though 5 years ago you had a meniscus injury. So you need an updated MRI, and don't let them inject you with dye. You don't need it. It's painful, and I don't think it's necessary. But you need to get an updated MRI. And when the crazy insurance says you need a second opinion, you just tell them you got one from Dr. Clapper. All right?
Sure will.
And then you call back, and I will make time for you to translate it for you and tell you what to do. And don't let them shoot you with cortisone.
I will.
All right, Geraldo. Thanks so much for what you do, and I look forward to talking to you after your MRI is done.
All right, thank you. A pleasure.
Okay, and don't forget, you got to call that teacher on Monday.
I will.
All right, young man. God bless you, and we'll talk soon. All right, we'll keep going. Keep going. Where do you want me to go here? We'll pay some bills. Hang on the line. The number is 877-710-ESPN. You listen to the one and only Weekend Warriors show. And thanks for telling all your friends. The show is blowing up. I shouldn't even give them the number anymore. It's blowing up so much, but I'm going to 877-710-ESPN. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. That's Paul Simon. Today's show is about another legacy of Kobe Bryant to all of us. To play with a chip on your shoulder. Muggsy Bogues, 5'3". Paul Simon, 5'3". If any of you ever came to my office, you'd see surfboards and sculptures that I've made. But you'd also see a black and white picture from 1945, a small one, of my dad kneeling in his army uniform with the rest of his mates in his, I don't know, squadron, whatever you call the unit. Because in November 1945, his troop was one of the first troops to free Paris. And in that picture, my dad is kneeling in his uniform. But standing is one of his mates. And you can tell he's not a very tall guy. He's got a big smile on his face. And these guys fought in Germany in the Black Forest to make the world a freer place, to go after Adolf Hitler. And as much as I look at that picture and I see my dad, I see that man, a total stranger to me. I'll never know his name. I'm certainly never going to meet him because I'm sure he's been dead for many years. But that smile on that man's face and that black and white picture of my dad, and I see it every day I go to my office. That is not a tall man, but that is one tough son of a gun. And he survived the battles with my dad to defend the Remagen Bridge. Adolf Hitler needed this bridge to get his supplies. And that was the bridge that he then wanted to blow up so the Allied forces couldn't get to him in Germany. And that was what my dad's job was to defend that bridge so that the Allied forces could get into Germany through that route. This show is about having a chip on your shoulder. And sometimes it comes from just the fact that you're 5'3" and you want to play in the NBA. Kobe played like he was 5'3", even though he was 6'6". But he taught us that even though you're 6'6", you still better play like you're 5'3". Play with a chip on your shoulder, that you got something to prove. Suck all the juice out of the life you got. Suck all the juice out of today. And I hope each and every one of you listening does that. That's the beauty of being on a Saturday morning from 7 to 9. The hour alone, because it's so early, selects for people that I want to talk to. I don't need to be on at 2 o'clock when everybody's up and running around. I want to talk to people who work hard, play hard, do stuff with their life. Life is not just to exist. It's to live. We'll take a break. Last segment coming up. Hang on the line. Wait till I tell you what we're going to... You know who my guest is next week? Robin Trento. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because it involves an exhibit coming to the Getty Museum. I'll tell you what's coming up next on 710 ESPN on the Weekend Warrior Show. After all... That's right, 62 years old. I'm still crazy after all these years, and thanks for being on the crazy trip with me, each and every one of you. That's right, I'm talking to you. You, right there. Right there. Oh, man. So next time you go to have sushi, tell them you want a bagel sushi. They'll go, what? Yep, I want some smoked salmon, some cream cheese, and an onion, and roll it up with the rice and the seaweed. Oh, man, it was the coolest thing in the world. But the best, I had it in Hawaii. I think the best bagel and lox, thanks to Ben Lyons, Wexler's Deli. Mm, I think they make their own bagels, too. So good. Needs to be a sharp onion, not just a red onion, a white onion, sharp. My father used to be able to peel an onion and eat it like an apple. You certainly don't want to kiss him after he's done that, that's for sure. But what people don't realize is onions have sugar in them. That's why they caramelize when you saute them, because there's sugar in them. But you got to get past the nastiness to get to the sugar. My dad loved that. Those, the bitier the onion, the better. Weird, right? Then I had a friend growing up. He used to eat apples. All right, no big deal. He ate an apple. He ate the whole damn apple. The stem, the seeds, the core. He ate the, like, what happened to the apple? Aren't you going to throw away the core? What core? He ate the whole damn thing. Now, you know what they've learned? That living in that part that we don't eat, the top and the bottom, is the most important bacteria. Forget all this probiotics. They sell all this stuff at the health food store. Now, you want to get all those bugs that are in that jar, the probiotics? Eat the whole apple. Eat the stem, and it's all organic. But that's what will give your gut the bacteria that it needs. And you know where that bacteria loves to live, the stem cells for that bacteria? They live in your appendix, right? Everybody has an appendectomy. They take your appendix out. Now, we do everything we can to keep your appendix because we realize it's actually super important. Because that's where the stem cells for the bacteria, the good bacteria that you need in your gut, live. So you don't want to lose your appendix. Keep it. I don't think I'm going to have enough time for a call. I better talk about next week. I'll take one. Let's do one. Let's go to Vaughn in Encino. You're on with Dr. Clapper. I only got like a minute left. You there?
I'm there. I'm here.
How are you, Vaughn? What do you do for a living?
I'm in sales.
What do you sell?
Fine cookware.
Nice. Fine cookware. So do you sell skillets that are made of iron? You sell aluminum pots and pans? What are you selling?
It's a clad, so it's stainless, aluminum, stainless.
And is the bottom copper?
No, it's stainless.
Wow. Could last forever, those things, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Every morning I use two frying pans, one to make the Canadian bacon and the sausage, and the other one to make the eggs I'm going to have. And I eat it every single morning. My body sees the same damn thing every single morning I get up for my whole life. It's fantastic.
Yeah. You make the eggs after you make the bacon, right?
No. It's God. Thank God my wife's still sleeping, because it's like, you know, like you go in the sauna where all the cloud of smoke from the sauna, that's what the kitchen looks like by the time I'm done with it, because I burn everything, because if I'm going to cook something, I cook the living hell out of it.
Yeah.
But yes, I probably do it all wrong. I should do a timing better, or I should alternate, but I just make it all at the same time. How can I help you, Vaughn? What's up?
So in 2006, I was in a car accident. I rear-ended four cars. You know, it was right smack behind a car. I didn't even hit the brakes. It was too late.
Oy, oy, oy.
So, shattered my tibia.
Mm-hmm.
Had surgery. Didn't have insurance, but I was fortunate enough to, you know, get it for free.
Mm-hmm.
And then I never really went. I went to one therapy session, and then after that, I was just, you know, too lazy to go back.
Is the hardware, is the rod or the plates and screws still in your leg?
There's no screws. There's nothing. There's no...
Oh, so they put you in a cast.
Yes.
All right. So then you always have to worry about the joint above and the joint below, getting arthritis in your knee or your ankle.
That's what I'm concerned
so don't,
about.
So yes. Don't let them shoot you up with cortisone or stem cells or Synvisc. Stay away. Be holistic if you can. You're 46 years old. I need you. There's a book I wrote with Linda Yu. We call Heal Your Knees. It'll show you exercises to do, the pool, the bike. Here's what I don't want you to do at 46. No treadmill, no lunges, no squats, no stair machines, no weights for your legs. The pool, the bike, the elliptical are the best things for you. That's how you'll keep your muscles loose. That's how you'll protect the joint. That's how you'll keep yourself strong. That's what I need you to do going forward. All right?
Okay.
All right, and keep in touch, Vaughn. And you listen every Saturday?
I do.
All right, well, I want you to find a total stranger today. I just did something nice for you. You're a total stranger. You make the world a better place. Now your job is today, find a total stranger, do something nice for them. All right? All right, young man. I leave you with Volare, which means I'm singing and I'm flying. Until next Saturday, I'll see you on the radio.